The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Second hour, and it's always great to talk to Shahan Jeyaraja from CBS Sports. Yes, we know it's March Madness. It's also the beginning of spring ball for many, many places. So you put the two together, and you have this headline: colleges with best football, men's basketball tandems. Kentucky, Kansas, Alabama lead the pack. How about this? This is according to Shahan. KU has Leipold, and he is one of the top coaches in the country. And Bill Self, like him or not, no self-awareness there, but he's won a few national championships. Stoops and Cal, DeBoer and Nate. How about this? Mack Brown and Hubert Davis. Might argue about number five. Oregon has Lanning and Altman, two very good coaches. What about seven? I think that's a little underrated. You can see the rest on your list. Shahan, it's been too long. Thanks for making time for us. This is a fascinating list. Good afternoon. Kansas hasn't been number one in too many football-related subjects. They've won a number of national championships. Tell us how you went about it as we say hello.
Many retirements. We've had so many great coaches cycle out of both college basketball and college football. And so for me, I went with a little bit of all reliable at the top. You know, we obviously have Kansas and Kentucky, two of the great programs in college basketball with all-time coaches and football programs that have managed to.
Yeah, Shahan, second day in a row.
The way that I kind of went about this was.
Yeah, for some reason we are.
Am I back?
Okay, Shahan, you were freezing on us a little bit, which I can't imagine you doing. But keep talking. I'll stay out of your way. Well, let me ask you this though, while we have you, is it equally weighted, or how did you come up with some of these combinations?
Yeah, it's a great question. I tried to weight them as equally the best that I could. I did try to lean towards guys who I kind of felt like were at the top of their game, you know, so a Bill Self, a John Calipari, I weighted those a little bit heavier than maybe somebody who's just an above average coach. So we really tried to err towards excellence, and we really tried to err towards experience as well.
Yeah, I'm curious who was like on the bubble. Who was first four out?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think there are actually a number of SEC teams that were right on the edge there. Ole Miss had to be one with Lane Kiffin and Chris Beard, of course. Just kind of get a little bit left out because Chris Beard is so new to the job, didn't have a great first year. Also, you have to look at Auburn, right? Hugh Freeze, of course, been a successful coach in the SEC. And Bruce Pearl, we know exactly what he is on the basketball side. A couple also from the Big 12. Kansas State with Jerome Tang made an Elite Eight in year one, and Chris Klieman has won a Big 12 championship at that school. Oklahoma with Porter Moser and Brent Venables was one that I considered a lot too. So a lot of really good programs. And honestly, that last spot, that number 10, was easily the toughest one to cut down on the list.
Well, I'm sure Chris Bowles was happy to be recognized with some of the uneventful things that have happened to him. Let me move on because there's a big story that broke a couple hours ago that I want to get you to react to, Shahan. And that's the story about a second ACC school suing the league for which it plays. And we're not talking about minor football powers. We now have FSU with litigation, Clemson, the two biggest names football-wise in the ACC. What is this telling you?
Yeah, I think this is telling me that, one, these two schools feel like they have a case, like they have an opportunity to get out. Two, I think that you also have to look at the timing of it. We are just days out from the college football playoff announcing their new structure for revenue compensation. And if you're Clemson right now, you are in an ACC that is going to be receiving less of a payout than the SEC and the Big Ten, and you are the only school to have won a national championship in the college football playoff era who's going to be accepting less. So ultimately, I think that these two schools are looking and saying, look, this isn't just going to be a small gap between these top two leagues and everybody else. It's going to be a big gap, you know, with potentially a $10 million gap between the playoff payouts now as well. You're talking about maybe a $40 million a year difference when you're talking about an ACC school versus a Big Ten or an SEC school. So the urgency is there. I think the desire is there. The question is going to be, will they be able to get out of this contract?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't think anybody knows the answer, but you have to think for another school, and it's been rumored that Clemson was pretty unhappy with its situation, but for another school to get in this, it is not pretending well. Broader than that, the CFP did just announce its new deal with ESPN. There's a lot we know. There's a lot we don't know, primarily about how some of the games will be distributed. It could be on another channel other than ESPN. But just in terms of what the SEC and the Big Ten were able to pull off here, your reaction?
Well, I think there was a lot of desire from the Big Ten to try to get another partner into it, but ESPN obviously came to the table with a very strong offer. It ultimately triples the amount of money that the College Football Playoff was receiving yearly before, a reported $1.3 billion. And ultimately, when you look at that in combination with the increased distribution, this was a deal that was ultimately too good for the Big Ten to pass up. So I think that this is even more consolidation of power in a lot of ways. And we sort of have now an official stance from the College Football Playoff. You know, there are two leagues right now because of their success and because of their participation that are going to be treated differently than every other league. And, you know, there is sort of this middle two still with the Big 12 and the ACC that are still receiving a much larger payout than the Group of Five. But the stratification has started, and the Big Ten and SEC are something else now.
And I wonder what your thoughts are on the threats, because there was all kinds of things thrown up against the wall here, and a few of them stuck, primarily from a financial standpoint. But do you think there was ever serious, I know there was some, but serious conversation that the SEC and the Big Ten would have said, you know what, we'll take our ball and go somewhere else?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one that certainly I'm glad didn't happen. I don't necessarily know that in this round there was a whole lot of threat of that happening, but I do think this is setting up a reality where when we start to look a couple years in the future, you know, this is a six-year extension. It's going to take us through about 2031. Whenever we start getting to that threshold, when we get closer to the ACC potentially reaching the end of their television agreement, the Big 12 reaching the end of their agreement, I think that that's maybe when we start to ask some questions about, are the Big Ten and the SEC going to move off? Are they going to try to do their own thing? I don't think that this is a short-term issue necessarily, especially as these two leagues try to integrate a whole bunch of teams for the first time. But I do think that we are starting to see these two leagues are willing to assert their power to kind of put money above everything else. And ultimately, I think that's a very interesting and kind of a very concerning in a lot of ways trend for the balance of power in this sport.
Great stuff from Shahan. Thank you. It's always good to hook up on a very busy day here talking about college basketball and college football. We are heading to the break right now. We have a University of Tennessee football player at the bottom of this hour and a major figure from the music world an hour away. We're coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And just listening to the commissioner there about some of the issues facing college athletics and our conversation with him in Nashville. Johnny B. is up next.
Hey, that's what I was telling him. It was a perfect segue into what I was wanting to talk about. I heard that Friday when Commissioner Sankey was doing that, and then the fact that you played it about three times, I think it's something that he's given something in there that kind of makes me wonder down the road. He's talking to a private equity fund manager. Now, you could read that as a lot of ways. He's trying to figure out how to spend his money, the SEC's money, or is he kind of letting us know that he's looking at maybe, could the SEC, I guess is what I'm trying to say, be a business traded on the stock market, making contracts? Like, I work for 1099 a lot for some of these companies that I work for, but would that solve like the player crisis and the money crisis? And would it be doable because they get a lot of the funding from the state? I mean, do you see that happening?
Yeah, I think I gave a number out the other day about it was a sports entrepreneur who has been on Wall Street who said he felt like college athletics is the most undervalued of the various sports. I mean, most of them, like the NFL, I mean, you can't maximize those values any more than incrementally. However, I think what he was referring to is private equity not only coming into individual schools, but coming into entities like the leagues. I don't think you would ever see this go to a public offering because it's too complicated and there's too much supervision. I think you would mainly see it as private entities. So it would be easier to manage.
It would give them a better way of policing all.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't think anybody's overly concerned about that. I know they act like they are, but what everyone in college athletics is interested in right now is figuring out a way to pay the bills. And that's why there is a crisis coming, because all the money is being pushed over not to things that will bring you residual value, like new arenas, new buildings. It's to individual athletes, where once you pay them off, the money's gone. There's no value to it other than for that moment in time.
It struck me that I just thought, you know, he seems to be a step ahead of everybody.
Don't remember. It was a couple of months ago when Florida State started looking for private equity groups to raise money so they could bail out of the ACC. It didn't work because, quite frankly, Florida State's athletic program, namely football, is really not that much of a value where they currently are. But in a different league, they would be more valuable.
All right. I appreciate it. I just want to get that out.
No, you're dead on. You picked up on that very effectively. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Randy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Weasel.
Mr. Weasel, you're right. From now on, call me by my name.
I will. Your whole name. Lion, weasel, scumbag.
Scumbag, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't nothing worse than scumbag. Look here, don't worry about being judged by God. He ain't going to judge you. And I wasn't going to talk about this, but Mr. Jim is about as far off base as you can get. But then I hate when somebody like him calls up.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Randy? And I'm not a theologian. I just try to be as good as I can be. But I wonder what gives him the innate ability to be able to you know, be as good a Christian as he proclaims to be, while also judging my future with my Maker. I think he's got an extraordinary gift.
Well,
meanwhile, casting rocks at people that he doesn't like.
I've been a Christian a long time, and I have spent a lot of hours studying the Bible.
Well,
and I've had a lot of courses and stuff anyway. I think I'm a pretty good judge of what's right and wrong in there. But I just hate to see somebody like Jim come up and misquote the Bible like he does. That really bothers me.
I'm glad you said that, Randy, because I've already upset him enough now that I'm a weasel scumbag. But to me, I think everybody has a walk with the Lord in his own way. But I've never known anyone who has all the answers. Like, by the way, I mean, some people have a lot of the answers, and they're standing out in front of stadiums, like Billy Graham. But even Billy Graham never professed to be any better than the next person, nor did he try to judge any of the people that were listening and hanging on every word. Jim is unique. He's the first person in biblical history who not only has all the answers, but's willing to call a radio television show and dispense them to the host.
You know what meek in the Bible means? It means equal. Like, I look you straight in the eye, level. I'm going to put myself above you. I don't put myself below you. We are equal.
Exactly.
I'm no better than you are. I ain't no better than nobody.
No. I mean, listen, Randy, you studied a lot more than I have. But I mean, we're all sinners, but I would never try to tell you that what you have done wrong is going to come back and haunt you and you're not getting in heaven. I mean, that's quite a walk on the wild side, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're not supposed to judge people in that direction.
No, that's what I think we've all been universally taught. But maybe Jim is that unique individual. You know what? I'm not accusing him of being the devil. But aren't we taught that people like that could be the devil?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they could be demon possessed.
Yeah.
Or they could be demon influenced. And Jim,
yeah, I mean, I know this sounds self-serving, but we may have something unique here that Joel Osteen and all the other great preachers don't have. I mean, we may have the devil among us as a regular caller to this show.
But he gets worse instead of better.
Yeah.
His calls are getting worse and worse.
I think Jim's attacks on callers and the host of the show may make all of us in whatever religion that we have feel better about our own faith.
Well, for the record, my record, you're about as fair as anybody I know, and I enjoy watching the show, and I enjoy listening to people.
Thank you very much for that, Randy.
He kind of gets on my nerves, and I hope people out there listening to your show has got enough common sense to realize that he is about as far off base as you can get.
You know what, Randy? Whether you're a Christian or some other denomination, I think what I have been taught my entire life, and I think you'll back me up, is that for people like Jim, we should not scorn them, we should not chastise them, we should pray for them.
Amen, brother. I agree with that. I didn't mean to get off on this when I called you, but when he called in, it kind of... Ooh, got on my skin.
Well, I appreciate that, Randy, and I did not intend to be Preacher Paul today, but that's exactly what's happened. Jackson is up next. Hello, Jackson.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You bet.
Listen, I wanted to ask you about your take on the Clemson lawsuit against the ACC, and what is Miami and North Carolina net, and what does this also mean for the Boston Colleges, the Wake Forest, and the Syracuses of the world?
Yeah, Jackson, I don't think this is a big surprise, knowing that Clemson was always going to be next on the list of, and one thing I would urge people not to pay much attention to are all the statements that schools are putting out. They're not worth the paper that they're printed on, but this is all leading to a day of judgment, not to be biblical here like the last call, but we are closing in on a moment in time for the ACC, and I think that moment is within the next year where the future of the league is going to be determined, and right now it's looking pretty shaky. We'll take a break. More to come, more of your phone calls, many more guests. We have a prominent football player, prominent musician. We're off and running.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. They call our next guest Big O. He is Amari Thomas, about to start his fourth year in a row as one of the preeminent D linemen in the country. Grew up in Memphis, plays for the University of Tennessee, and he joins us right now from Knoxville. The Vols are into spring ball, and Amari, thank you very, very much for being with us. Congratulations on your career. You decided to come back. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I assume you want to make some noise this fall. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I will have to thank you for having me, but I would definitely have to say you're not putting any words in my mouth. That's really the main reason I came back. It's really just to do something special here. Like, I love Tennessee. I love Knoxville. It's a beautiful place, beautiful city. And I just want to be able to do something special for Knoxville and do something special with my team.
Listen, if you never played another down of football, you would have a lot to tell your children and grandchildren about. But you are coming back, and you do have a lot more ahead of you. But in terms of accomplishment, and I know there are certain things that the coaches implant in young men's mind, but what is this next season, your final on Rocky Top, going to be about?
It's really just going to be about just making a statement, having fun, going out there and just wanting to win games, wanting to be able to. We have set goals. We expect to do things here at the University of Tennessee, and that's just what we want to live by. That's what we do, and that's really it. That's why I'm looking forward to this next year, just going out there, really having fun. And that really being able to compete with my teammates, my brothers, and that's the most fun you can have. And I just don't think it gets better than that, honestly.
You've already experienced quite a bit, Big O. You had that epic season last year, the year before last. You know, it was a memorable scene against Tennessee. You beat Florida at home. You were number one in the country heading down to Georgia last year. Things are a little different, I don't want to paint last year as a disappointment because the season ended on a really great note. But does that fuel the desire to want to do more this year?
It definitely does. It definitely does fuel us. You know, we're never satisfied as a team. We know we came out last year, had a good year, but it wasn't the year that we wanted to have. We won a lot of games, had a decent bowl game win. So that was good for us, good for our team here at Tennessee, but we just expect way more out of us as a brotherhood, as the culture here, a winning program here at Tennessee, and that's what we look forward to doing this upcoming fall, and that starts now. Like you said, we started spring ball, so it starts now.
That defense at times last year was you know, thanks to you and some of your teammates, was pretty stout.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you guys really acquitted yourself a lot, but I hate to ask a defensive lineman about the quarterback, but I will. Because everyone is talking about Nico. Many people believe that if he can play similarly than how he did in the bowl game. I mean, this thing could really be amazing. What do you see right when you're lined up on the other side of the ball?
When I line up on the other side of the ball of Nico, I really just see a person who sits back there, is real poised, comfortable, and just looking to make plays. He's a playmaker, but you see all of that on the field, and then you go in the locker room with Nico. He's a great guy, funny, goofball, jokes around a lot. But at the same time, you could tell when it's time to be about football, his approach, he was young last year, freshman last year, came in, and he just, you could tell he wanted to be here. He wanted to learn from the upperclassmen and just wanted to be able to be the best quarterback for us, be the best person for Tennessee, and just really look forward to helping lead us to what we're trying to do here.
Amari, you're forcing me to ask you what you mean when you call him a goofball.
Well, when I say a goofball, it's really just, you know, a lot of jokes with Nico. Like, he enjoys life. That's the best way to put it. He enjoys life. He's always smiling, always just laughing with each other, making jokes, like I said. So when I say goofball, that's what I really mean. He's just always having fun with his teammates, always seeing him around the facility, just interacting with people, just a great person all around.
I want to talk about your role because we've had on the screen some of the things that you've done. You've visited foreign countries. You're part of the, before we get to the serious stuff, what was that like to, I mean, everyone wants to go find out about the world, but you've seen some things about this world that most of us don't ever expect to see.
Right. For me, I was able to go to Rwanda like 2 years ago in the summer with Vol Leaders Academy, something that we have here at the University of Tennessee. And it really just being able to have that opportunity to go to Rwanda, it really was life-changing, honestly, because everybody was just, you come in and, you know, you get so caught up in things here, just you want different things. You get upset about not getting a pair of shoes like me or something like that. Like, I might get mad if I miss a pair of shoes. But you go over there and those kids, they have one pair of shoes. They cherish those shoes like literally, like it's their only pair of shoes. And like we had took shoes over there, took a bunch of equipment and different sports things over there just for those guys, girls. And they just really enjoyed it. You could tell. It was just amazing to go over there, and we just embraced the culture and something that our group that we just really focused on before we went over there was just to not go over there to try to help them, but to learn from them. And I feel like that's something that we did, and it changed my life. Like, it actually changed my life, the way my perspective on things, just being grateful to be here. I love life. Like, that's really what it gave to me, and I appreciate being able to go to Rwanda. It's a beautiful place, the motherland. It's wonderful. It's like when you walk there, it's just you would think you would kind of have to be uptight, shelled, you know, but everybody is just so happy always. Like, they greet you, they speak to you. Obviously, like, we look different, but at the same time, like, they treated us, everybody, just like we were family. They looked out for us. So it was an amazing experience, and I definitely would do it again.
Amari Thomas with us, the great player from the University of Tennessee. You've been on the SEC Leadership Council for the last couple of years. You're now going to represent the SEC on the Division I Football Oversight Committee. I mean, that's a big deal. You're meeting with the best of the best in intercollegiate athletics and academics. Tell us about your role. Leadership is a phrase we throw around a lot, but you are the personification of that.
Yes, sir. Really, for me, leadership, my role here is just I just try to listen to people. Like, I'm a type person. I came in as a leader who just did the right things and just expected people to follow you. But I've become more vocal, realizing that there's a bunch of ways to lead. And like, that's something that the Vol Leaders Academy really taught me. Like, but the one thing that I really took of that and that I take within myself on my leadership is just being able to listen to the people that you want to lead. Because I just believe there's no way you can try to lead someone if you're not hearing where they're coming from as well. So that's me. My role on this team, though, I just try to, you know, I'm older, so I just try to be a big brother to everybody here. I try to look out for everybody, and it's just amazing to be able to be on the SEC Leadership Council and then just be able to take a next step, kind of, you know, and just have the SEC think of me and be able to represent the SEC with the NCAA. So it's a beautiful and blessing. Like, I'm just grateful to be here, like, grateful to have that opportunity and that just that opportunity, honestly, yeah.
Amari, help us understand something, because we're in a different era in college football today, really, than when you started.
Right.
Because players are now able to finally benefit from all the things that they represent. And there are critics of this. There are fans who don't understand. In fact, I mean, there are coaches who coached 2.5 months ago who are saying, this isn't what I got in it for, which in many ways is a shot at the young men like you, not you specifically, because it was a different school,
right.
But I want you to try to enlighten us about what these changes to college athletics have meant to players like you and your teammates and people that you meet all over the country.
For me, and just people that I meet all over the country, and just conversations that I have with people regarding to that, is everyone appreciates it. Everyone loves it, because it gives you an opportunity to help build your brand. It gives you an opportunity to just get your name out there more, show people that you're more than a football player, and it allows you to interact with people, meet, network with people, and just be able to get these type of deals, different things like that, and just allows you, like I said, to really just meet new people, but while at the same time, you're putting your face out there on different platforms and different things like that, that just helps builds you as a person, shows your character, and just shows everything that you can do besides being a football player, which I think is big for everyone in college football and college sports.
Amari, they teach us, for those of us who sit behind these microphones, that you're supposed to be neutral and nonpartisan. And I'm not saying this because we both grew up in the same city, Memphis, and went to the same school, the University of Tennessee. But I cannot tell you how impressed I have been in this very brief conversation. You are literally what college athletics is supposed to be about. You should be proud of that. And I'm deeply, all of us here are deeply in your debt for coming on and helping the other side to understand a little bit more about what young people go through.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me. It means a lot for you to say that. And I just try to be a great example of what my parents taught me.
Well, they did well, and they should be extremely proud. Thank you, Amari. Thank you very, very much for making time. Wow, that was so cool. Amari Thomas joining us from Knoxville as we head to the break. We're back right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here getting ready for the second half of the show in a minute, but let's check in with Bubba in North Carolina. Hey, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well for pond scum. God love you.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Randy working today?
Randy is here, but he is not currently in this room. I think they had...
I hadn't heard him chuckling in the
background. Yeah, it's almost 5 o'clock, and they had an early happy hour here at the studio.
I heard
Randy
that,
went
bro.
In there and got a pimento cheese sandwich and a free airport miniature.
Oh, heck yeah. I just saw an interesting tidbit today. Tennessee's going to play St. Peter's, I think, in the first round.
Right.
And Zakai Ziegler's half-brother plays for them.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I thought that was interesting. I wonder how many intense one-on-ones they had at the basketball court.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good.
Yeah, and your bracket, man, I like your bracket. The bracket turned out really well. All of them are great callers. I predict Legend will repeat, reclaim his champion. I think AJ may be a dark horse. He got a lick of sense, but I still think he's got an outside chance at it. And Brother Jim from Tuscaloosa has just come unhinged, absolutely. That caller Randy nailed it on the head with his call. I was raised in the church by my mother, my brother and I, and we were taught that God's about love, and I've never heard anybody spew as much hate as Jim. I mean, it's just, it's toxic. And I don't know what he thinks his relationship is with the good Lord, but he needs to find a little grace in his life and do a little self-reflection. But anywho, that's my two cents. You have a great day.
Hey, thank you very much. Really good to hear from you. How about Chris in Tuscaloosa? Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are y'all doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, first thing, I wanted to apologize yesterday. I was right on the last slot, and I guess I dropped an F-bomb or something. I promise
well,
you, I didn't even notice it.
By the way, I think you were quoting your wife. You were 100% correct, but it's like an automatic. It was a great call, though.
Well, I got to tell you, I had spent 3 days uninterrupted with my stepson, who's an active duty Marine. He's on leave. So if I'm not cussing every other word, I haven't spent enough time with him. You know what I mean?
That's great.
So anyway, I wanted to follow a little bit with that call, because we were talking about, you know, Shatner and stuff, and you'd ask, like, what kinds of people were there? There were tons. And I think my favorite person whose session we went to was Dolph Lundgren. You know,
oh, wow.
Ivan Drago in Rocky IV.
Wasn't he in one of the Rocky movies?
Yep, he was. He was the Russian guy. He was the one who killed Apollo Creed, basically.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure is. Sure was.
And he's been in the newer series, but he is a brilliant guy. Like, if you look up things about him, he turned down a Fulbright scholarship. He told us that to go into acting. But he's an engineer. He speaks four languages. I mean, he's super smart, right? But there were a bunch of folks, you know, there. And, you know, as far as wrestling fans, I mean, the longest lines the whole week, right? I talked about how long the lines were just to get a photo with Flair, but the lines for having items signed and to talk to somebody was by far Sting, because he just announced his retirement from professional wrestling.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, you couldn't even get close to it. But I wanted to also talk about something. You know, we had a great trip, but we had to take a red eye flight back from North Carolina. And we had to fly back to Nashville because there was nothing going straight to Birmingham. So we were on Southwest, and we were sitting there, you know, open seating. There was a seat next to us. And, you know, this young lady sat down and, you know, we go, hey, how are you? You know, where are you headed? And it turns out, found out she was an Alabama fan, an Alabama alum, and actually works for the university as a recruiter of students.
Wow. That's
you know? Yeah. And we were talking about that, and I had to ask and bring it back to the show. I asked her, I said, so how's it been since Coach Saban retired and you know, Coach DeBoer has taken over the program? I said, has it affected at all? She goes, you know, the interest from students that we're recruiting in university is higher than it's ever been. And I said, really? I go, what do you think that, why that was? And she said, well, we didn't really know kind of how it was going to be. And to be honest, we get kind of all kinds of different answers, but I think it boils down to mostly that, you know, a lot of times folks want to be in on the ground floor of something. And you know, even though it's new and it's unknown, you know, it's not like people are like, bye, you know, I don't want to go to Alabama anymore since Nick Saban isn't coaching there, right, as a student. And we haven't seen that either with recruiting, on the recruiting trail either. So, I we'll see what happens, but my odds are going up on how it could be. So.
That's really interesting. And by the way, I've heard good things, people inside of what you just got through referring to, saying similar things that, after
very much
the transition is always going to be a challenge, but we're now 2 months removed and things are really going well.
Right. I mean, when the rubber hits the road is when we'll really know, but you know, it's not like the gloom and doom that, you know, the the first week looked like as far as, you know, some of the recruits leaving.
But that's always the case. Hey, thank you very, very much. Jace is up next. Hey, Jace, go right ahead.
Hey, man. I want to talk about Jim. Why does he keep calling the damn show, Paul? I mean, he is a buffoon. I don't understand why he still calls the show.
Well, I think he's entitled. He's always gotten his way on this show, and there's only one person to blame for that. And I don't think he really has anything else to do.
Okay. Now another thing.
By the way, I think deep down, Jace, I'm sure I'll be corrected on this. I think he's, I'm not a doctor, but I think he's addicted to the show.
Right. Let me ask you this. Can you bring up the caller bracket? And I'll give you my final four if you can bring up the caller
bracket.
Yeah,
sure. Go right
ahead. All right.
Who's in there, Jace?
Let me see here.
Okay.
I got you.
Legend?
Okay. I hadn't seen the caller bracket come up yet.
I'm sorry. I can probably help you with that. You got Legend's okay. The number one seed. We also have Handsome Joe as the number one seed. Squirrel is the number one seed. And Larry are the number one seeds.
All right, I think Legend is a shoe-in. I think Larry's a shoe-in.
Michael Squirrel. L. Bivens, he is here next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.